Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we're going to listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted changes that time and taste demand. In today's installment, we will hear a Billy Joel song that peaked at number 17, becoming his fourth single in less than 5 years to peak at 17. And that isn't even the most remarkable accomplishment of that odd record. For our little slice of heaven, we will hear the flip side of a single by a Louisiana blues man that began recording in 1957. Within 7 years, at least seven legendary bands involved in the British invasion included songs of his in their live shows. Our slot at number two is taken by a Los Angeles band that wasn't quite grunge, wasn't quite rock, wasn't quite alternative, and wasn't quite pop. But whatever they weren't, they sure came up with one song that was a triumph. And our Hall of Perfection track features lyrics once believed to have been written by King Solomon as part of a sacred text. Words from this work have been quoted by Abraham Lincoln, referenced by William Shakespeare, and used by Ernest Hemingway as the title to a novel. But first, just like we do every week, we start with a record that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak. What kind of record do we have today? Well, we will start with the remnants of the band Mudcrutch and a hot record label, Shelter Records. Shelter's big hits at the time included Tightrope by Leon Russell, Poetry Man by Phoebe Snow, and I'm on Fire by the Dwight Twilley Band. According to writer Warren Zanes, one random day at the Shelter Studios, Dwight Twilley heard former Mudcrutch guitarist Mike Campbell stumble upon a cool riff while improvising the fade of a new song. Dwight thought the whole song should revolve around that riff, and he immediately told the song's writer. And talk about the team spirit at Shelter Records. Another member of the Dwight Twilley Band, the late Phil Seymour, contributed to the recording by singing some very memorable high harmony. Let's listen.
It's alright if you love me. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you owe. You see, there is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. You said all there is to say. Through the night.
With a song that peaked at number 40 for 1 week and then fell, that's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers with Breakdown, and it didn't hurt their career one bit.
Number 20.
Here are three incredible musicians who, once, as a joke, called themselves the Elvis Brothers, and that name stuck. So, rather than fight it, they ran with it, and even renamed themselves to match the concept. Drummer Brad Steakley became Brad Elvis, vocalist and bassist Graham Walker became Graham Elvis, and vocalist and guitarist Rob Newhouse became Rob Elvis. I personally witnessed these guys absolutely knock out audiences in Memphis, St. Louis, and in Columbia, Missouri during the 80s. They were an absolute treat to catch live. And just a few weeks ago, they were complimented by original MTV VJ Alan Hunter on Sirius XM while he was discussing the music scene of their hometown, Champaign, Illinois. With a song that was included on their third album, here are the Elvis Brothers with a track written by Rob Elvis, Get Me Off This Ride.
When I look at you, I wanna turn to stone. I wanna say I want you. I'm tired of being alone. When you look at me, I know you can't decide.
With a song that, at the very least, should have gone as high as number 20, those were the Elvis Brothers with Get Me Off This Ride.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and you're listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now we're up to a song that really did peak at number 11. And of all the songs that I'm ever going to play that really peaked at number 11, this is the most surprising. According to Beatles historian Dave Ribiszewski, Paul McCartney sat at the piano and started with the chords and the name Daisy Hawkins, or Miss Daisy Hawkins. Not long after sketching out that rough song, Paul dropped by the home of his friend, singer-songwriter Donovan, and premiered the song for him. According to Donovan, quote, "He played me a tune about a strange chap, the protagonist, called Ola Natungi. Ola Natungi blowing his mind in the dark with a pipe full of clay. No one can say." Close quote. At some point, the name changed to Eleanor Rigby, and the story within the song was completed. There have been disputes as to the source of the name, from actress Eleanor Braun, who appeared with the Beatles in Help, to Eleanor Bygraves, whose name Lionel Bart and Paul noticed on a gravestone together while walking one day near Wimbledon. And how about this twist? In Liverpool, just a few yards away from where John Lennon and Paul McCartney met for the first time in 1957, there is a gravestone for a real person named Eleanor Rigby. What about the final draft of those lyrics? They are some of the best on any record that has ever made the charts. And, of course, there has to be a disagreement over the contributions of Lennon and McCartney. There are those that say that John Lennon had no part of the composition at all. And then there are those who have given Paul McCartney 53 or so years to come up with another song by himself with lyrics comparable to those in Eleanor Rigby, only to praise his music but continue to wait on his lyrics. Regardless of who actually wrote what, Eleanor Rigby was released in August of 1966, both as a track on the Revolver album and as part of a double A-sided single with Yellow Submarine. Now, based upon the tabulations of the charts at the time, Yellow Submarine seemed to be doing better and took the number 2 position, while Eleanor Rigby simultaneously held the number 11 position. Obviously, if both songs contributed to the chart position of the same record, that would have been a number 1. But based on the chart procedures at the time, Yellow Submarine stayed at number 2 and Eleanor Rigby stayed at number 11, and both peaked at those positions in the United States. In Great Britain, the charts were tabulated a different way, and the double A-sided single did in fact hit number 1. So now, with a song that hit number 1 in England but peaked technically in the United States at number 11, here we have Paul McCartney on lead and backing vocals, John Lennon on backing vocals, George Harrison on backing vocals, Tony Gilbert on violin, Sidney Sachs on violin, John Sharp on violin, Jürgen Hess on violin, Stephen Shingles on viola, John Underwood on viola, Derek Simpson on cello, Norman Jones on cello, with the arrangement by Sir George Martin. Here is Eleanor Rigby.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people. Thank you.
with a song that surprisingly peaked at number 11 in the United States, The Beatles with Eleanor Rigby.
Number 10.
By the time Billy Joel released the single Allentown, he had already placed 16 singles into the top 10. In addition to the number one hit, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me, and two number threes, Just the Way You Are and My Life, Billy had racked up an odd statistic. Three separate times he had peaked at number 17. Moving Out, She's Always a Woman, and Say Goodbye to Hollywood all peaked at number 17. While number 17 was indeed Billy's most likely result based on previous releases, when Allentown was released, nobody could have predicted just how entrenched into the number 17 Billy Joel was. During the week of February 5, 1983, Allentown moved into that familiar number 17 slot, surrounded by The Girl Is Mine by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney at number 16, and Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy by Sammy Hagar at number 18. The following week, Allentown was number 17 again, this time surrounded by All Right by Christopher Cross at 16 and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club. Billy had to be feeling like he was dealing with another number 17 peak and possibly accepting the inevitable fall by the next week. But instead, the song was number 17 for a third consecutive week on the February 19 chart. And the next week, that's right, number 17 again. And again, and again. By March 12, Allentown logged its sixth consecutive week at number 17, this time surrounded by I Know There's Something Going On by Frida and Fall in Love with Me by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Then the following week, it slipped to number 23. However, in one last tip of the hat to the number 17, it should be pointed out that that descent happened in the song's 17th week on the chart. There have been lots of records that stayed at number one for 6 weeks, and we will examine a couple of records in the future with lengthy stays at numbers 2 and 3. But number 17? And for that long? With all that talk about the number 17, this record has always sounded like a top 10 hit to me. So, we are awarding Allentown a number 10 slot in our alternative universe. And just in case you are worried, we promise that it won't be our number 10 for 6 consecutive weeks. Here's Billy Joel.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. Out in Bethlehem, they're killing time, filling our forms, standing in line. Well, our fathers fought the Second World War, spent their weekends on the Jersey shore, met our mothers in the USO, lost in the dance.
with a song that peaked at number 17 and stayed there for six long weeks. That was Billy Joel and Allentown.
Universe Top 40.
Number nine.
Well, now we're up to number nine, and it's time for a four-man band from Liverpool. No, not the same four-man band from Liverpool we heard just a minute ago. Actually, this is a four-man band called A Flock of Seagulls, and they first hit the American charts in September of 1982 with a song that had some of the greatest guitar echo ever recorded. Song that really did peak at number nine, that's A Flock of Seagulls and their exercise in guitar echo, I Ran So Far Away.
Modern and Great should have reached number eight.
Now we're up to number eight, and it's a song by the band Supremium. These guys have played with everyone, from the Romantics to Adam Ant to Tonic, Roadhouse, and even actor Johnny Depp. Back in 2001, they released the album Tales on Smile Records, and on that album is this track called What She Needs, and it's brilliant. Pay attention. It's modern, and it's great, and it should have reached number eight.
She can feel the fire in her eyes, hotter than the sun, and she don't care.
She needs is a place she
the track that should have reached number 8 because it's modern and great. That's Supremium with What She Needs.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it's a remarkable recording that was first released as a B-side to the single I Need Money by Louisiana bluesman Slim Harpo. Slim Harpo's real name was James Isaac Moore. He was born in 1924 and was the oldest child in his family. By the age of approximately 15, he became a longshoreman because both of his parents had died. After working construction for a time in New Orleans, he began performing his blues music in Baton Rouge. Later, his wife, Lavelle, suggested the name Slim Harpo. In addition, Lavelle co-wrote many original songs with him, but she never received any credit. Well, by 1957, Slim Harpo released his first solo record for the small Excello Records out of Nashville. He had several records that hit the R&B charts and two entries into the pop charts. Most notably, Baby Scratch My Back, which hit number 1 on the R&B chart, number 16 on the pop chart, and was even used by novelty record king Dickie Goodman in the now famous break-in record Batman and His Grandmother. Well, by 1964, a virtual who's who of British invasion bands were playing Slim Harpo songs. The Rolling Stones, the Kinks, the Yardbirds, them, the Pretty Things, and Pink Floyd all covered his songs. The Moody Blues even took their name from one of his instrumentals. Later, ZZ Top's hit LaGrange took a riff from Slim's song Shake Your Hips. And I'm a King Bee has been covered by The Doors, The Grateful Dead, and a few years ago was even used in a Jack Daniel's whiskey commercial. But the song that is truly a slice of heaven is an informal sequel to I'm a King Bee. It's called My Little Queen Bee. Hard to believe that anybody at any record company wanted to put this on the B-side of any single. Here's Slim Harpo at number 7.
My little queen bee got a brand new cane. My little queen bee got a brand new cane. Really must make a happy order. Hear my queen bee sing. Here in the morning, sometime late at night. Here in the morning, sometime late at night. Will it make me believe that he's treating my queen bee right? If I could only get inside that hive. If I could only get inside that hive. Will I be double trouble? I'll make somebody cry. She's long gone. Well, my queen bee, I believe she's long gone. Well, I tried everything, but I just can't get her home.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Slim Harpo and My Little Queen Bee. Well, music fans out in the virtual world have been busy again.
Phil from Chicago thinks Something in the Air by Thunderclap Newman features a great song, but a lousy vocal. Brian from New York doesn't like All By Myself by Celine Dion. He doesn't mention anything about Eric Carmen, though. Michael from Seattle says Queen of Hearts by Juice Newton is a great song with a bad vocal. David from LA thinks that all the Go-Go songs are fine, except the singing is flat. What do you think? Please don't be shy. Send us an email at john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we're up to number 6, and it's at number 6 where we award a bonus hit single to an act that has released and charted with at least 6 albums. And without question, today's act, Electric Light Orchestra, certainly has the album credentials. This particular bonus hit comes from their 1979 album, Discovery, an album that was criticized a little for the rhythm used behind the singles Shine a Little Love and Last Train to London. In fact, I can specifically remember hearing a disc jockey tell his listeners to only request ELO songs from the album A New World Record, because he had no interest in the new Discovery album, which he purposely pronounced Discovery. Nevertheless, from that album comes this incredible Jeff Lynne melody that has a moving bass line from the early 60s and high male vocals that were obviously influenced by Jeff's future cohort in the Traveling Wilburys, Roy Orbison. Here at number 6, ELO with Wishing.
Little darling, don't you cry.
With our bonus hit at number 6, that was ELO with Wishing.
Number 5.
Now we're up to number 5. And just a few moments ago, we heard a song that was a B-side to a single. Now we have another one. The four-man Memphis band Jimmy Davis and Junction reached number 32 on the mainstream rock chart and number 67 on the pop singles chart with the song Kick the Wall. That was the title track from the album called Kick the Wall. That album was produced by Jack Holder, and it was released by MCA in 1987. We will play that title track some other time, but today we're going to focus on the flip side called Over the Top. The production of this recording is really crisp and punchy, and it takes Jimmy Davis out of the realm of Southern rock and gives him a totally modern sound for the times. Obviously, this song is too catchy to be a B-side. Had it been promoted as an A-side by MCA, certainly it would have reached number 5. Here's Jimmy Davis in Junction with Over the Top. Produced by Jack Holder and released by MCA, that was Jimmy Davis and Junction with Over the Top, a song that should have cracked the top 5. Now we're up to number 4, and it's by an act that was called Yaz in the United States, but called Yazoo in Great Britain. Yazoo hit number 2 with their very first single, Only You, back in 1982. They followed that hit up with a very catchy synthetic song using some of the incredible playing of Vince Clark. Combined with the vocals of Alison Moyet, here is Yazoo in England, or Yaz in the United States, with a song that should have reached number 4 all over the world, Don't Go. Thank you. with a song that peaked at number 3 in England and should have reached number 4 in the United States and the rest of the world. That was Yaz, or Yazoo, with Don't Go.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
And now we're up to number 3, and it really is a 3 from way downtown. It's a song called We Want You by Brian Beverley. And I don't really know anything about Brian Beverley other than he released this song in 1981 on Tacoma Records. The very first time I ever heard it, I went out and immediately bought it, and I'm glad I did, because you don't ever see this record anywhere. In fact, it's the only entry for Brian Beverley on Discogs. But with this song, he hit it out of the park. Well, really, he hit one from way downtown. So here's Brian Beverley with our 3 from way downtown. We Want You. A number 3 that was from way downtown. That's Brian Beverley and We Want You.
Number 2.
And now we're up to number 2. And that means we really think this song should have gone to number 1. And as we said a moment ago, this band wasn't quite grunge, wasn't quite rock, wasn't quite alternative, and wasn't quite pop. Well, Sun 60 was a band from the Los Angeles area based around vocalist Joan Jones and guitarist David Russo. They were signed to Epic Records and released 3 albums in the early 90s. And they began as a folk duo known as Far Cry. Over time, Jones and Russo gradually added members and expanded their sound. By 1993, they released their 2nd album for Epic, titled Only. It included guest musicians, such as guitar work of Dave Navarro, the sometime member of Jane's Addiction, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and more recently, the host of television's Ink Masters. Even with heavy-hitting guests and production by REM producer Scott Litt, that 2nd album never truly found its audience. Regardless, one of its tracks, Hold On is a true masterpiece, a song which should have reached number one. So, with our number two track, which means we think it deserved to hit number one, this is Sun 60 with Hold On.
The real
that was the masterpiece from Sun 60, Hold On, at number two. Now we're up to our Hall of Perfection track, and it contains lyrics that were derived from the book of Ecclesiastes. So who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Traditionally, the authorship has been credited to King Solomon, although some modern scholars dispute this now. What is not in dispute is the influence that this book has had on Europe and the United States. For example, during the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln quoted Ecclesiastes during one of his critical speeches to Congress. William Shakespeare's Sonnet 59 refers to Ecclesiastes. The title of Ernest Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises was likely taken from Ecclesiastes. And even the phrases nothing new under the sun and eat, drink, and be merry originated in that book. Later, folk artist Pete Seeger tapped into the first 8 verses of the 3rd chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes for the lyrics to his composition, Turn, Turn, Turn. The song itself was originally released in 1962 on an album by the Limelighters using the title, To Everything There Is a Season. One of the backing musicians for the Limelighters was Roger McGuinn. Obviously, he heard the song because a year later, in 1963, he worked with Judy Collins to help her arrange it for one of her albums. Finally, McGuinn's own band, The Birds, recorded their version. It is truly a Hall of Perfection track. The chiming guitars, the harmonies, the speed of the song, the perfect placement of the drum hits, everything screams perfection. There's nothing that can be done to make this recording any better. Indeed, the song, as it should have, hit number one, and it is a timeless classic in our Hall of Perfection.
Peace.
with a song that is perfect in every way. That is Turn, Turn, Turn by The Byrds. Well, that's all we have for today. Be sure and join us next week at this exact same time in the exact same place for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. We would love to hear from you, so please visit our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. Those are all lowercase letters, and 40 is a number. Or you can email me at john@altuniversetop40.com. Again, all lowercase letters, and 40 is still a number. Or go to our Facebook page and like our Alt Universe Top 40 Facebook page. You can also hear each episode the following Friday after its original Saturday broadcast on Mixcloud. So until next time, keep making those positive changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.
Alt Universe Top 40.